Today on Straight Talk Africa, observers say the world's emerging economies of Brazil, Russia, India, and China have become the major players in how business and trade decisions in Africa are made. In fact, Patrick J. Griswold, a former American business executive in Africa and author of a recent provocative book, It's Africa Stupid, says the U.S. has a lot of catching up to do. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, November 4th. I am Shaka Sali.
And I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter. Hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. Thanks for joining us today.
Today, we'll explore the secrets of doing business in Africa from an experienced American corporate executive who served as CEO of a major tire company in Tanzania.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on our topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
Thanks, Mariama. But first, U.S. President Obama had a strong message for Burundi this week. It is being removed from the preferential trade agreement, AGOA. The move is blamed on the human rights violations and recent crackdowns on the political opposition. The removal comes despite U.S. efforts to promote trade with sub-Saharan Africa. My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more on this story.
President Obama has made trade expansion a central pillar of his sub-Saharan policy. In June, Congress and the President renewed and extended AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, through 2025, promoting trade and, for some sub-Saharan nations, duty-free access to certain U.S. markets. President Obama addressed the African Union in July.
So many Africans have told me, we don't want just aid, we want trade that fuels progress. We don't want patrons, we want partners who help us build our own capacity to grow.
Despite the president's doing business message and AGOA's renewal, economists say American business is lagging behind in Africa. Fact, 7 of the world's fastest growing economies are in Africa. Fact, U.S. products represent less than 10% of Africa's $400 billion in imports. Fact, regions with young populations grow faster than others. And Africa's population will double to some 2 billion people in the coming decades. Patrick Griswold has done business in Africa for many years.
That Africa will be responsible for the majority of economic growth on the planet for the next 2 to 3 decades. Now, this includes an upcoming middle class of 1 billion strong.
Mr. Griswold is a business consultant, author, and founder of Why Africa Now. He believes American businesses are missing out in sub-Saharan Africa, and African development and U.S.-African trade relations suffer greatly because of it.
Time is money, and there's an enormous amount of opportunity in Africa.
Griswold writes, U.S. businesses need to know that Africa is okay, and you can do very well there. It's a lesson the world's most successful corporations learned long ago. Coca-Cola, General Electric, IBM, Microsoft, Google, Exxon, and others. Again, President Obama.
Now, most U.S. trade with the region is with just 3 countries, South Africa, Nigeria, and Angola. And much of that is in the form of energy. I want Africans and Americans doing more business together in more sectors, in more countries. I want to encourage everybody to do business with Africa.
Like the U.S. President, Patrick Griswold encourages everybody, large and small, to do business with Africa. His message for Africans' young entrepreneurs, don't wait for anybody to knock on your door, be proactive. And his message for American business, time is money, and today's growth opportunities are on the African continent. Paul Sisco, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studio is the man himself and my distinguished guest, Patrick J. Griswold.
the president and founder of Why Africa Now, a boutique consulting firm that specializes in advertising U.S. companies to invest on the continent. He's also the author of the book, It's Africa Stupid, that followed his very first trip to East Africa in 1985 while serving as CEO for a leading tire manufacturing company, Continental, and how he finds that U.S. companies are lagging behind in the world's fastest growing economy. Well, Patrick, I have honestly to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to finally host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
I'm very honored to be here, Shaka. Thank you for the invitation.
You're most welcome, sir. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guest. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately. Patrick, you actually sent me a letter back in August of this year saying that you were a fan of Straight Talk Africa and you liked my kind of journalism. What exactly did you mean by that? Were you trying to buy your way onto the show or what?
No, Shaka, in summary, I would say that Africa in whole is very misrepresented by the mainstream media. So Straight Talk Africa does something that no one else in media is doing, is trying to show people what's actually happening on the continent. And very few people know that.
And how does it do it, at least from your vantage point?
Well, you delve into the topics of the day. Also, you focus on the fact that Africa is many, many countries, 54 to be exact. You know, I hate even using the word Africa because most people in the U.S. and other parts of the world think that it's one place. I tell people all the time, and when I take people to Africa, it's as simple as crossing a border to find a totally different culture, way of doing business, and how things operate.
You know, it is very interesting that you mentioned, of course, how Africa is not a country and obviously does not have a capital, even though, of course, one could say that Addis Ababa is probably the de facto capital of Africa.
Exactly.
You know, there are 54 member countries of the African Union, correct?
Yes.
But that is less Morocco. So what happens when you add on Morocco then?
Well, another point, and I try to use this simplification method with regard to those 54, maybe 55 countries. One third, one third, one third. If you're a businessman outside of Africa and you're not in the first third, which are the fast moving, very dynamic, exciting countries, it's almost too late for you to get started.
Hmm.
The second third are ready to go and you better get there now. The final third, we know, have some time to come with regard to a lot of things, infrastructure, politics, and what have you. So you really need to understand the continent, where to start, and what places to put on the back burner, as they would say.
Mm-hmm. You obviously wrote a very interesting book. I must say that I enormously enjoyed going through and learned a lot, of course, from it. But I was also, in a way, taken aback a little bit by its title.
Mm-hmm.
It's Africa Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come about that? Because it frankly reminds me of a 1992 Bill Clinton campaign. And of course, the guy who was in charge of his campaign was a James Carville.
Correct.
And he coined the word, it's the economy stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what inspired you?
Yes, it did, exactly. And, I went through many title versions and even did some surveys. And most of the people did not like this title. But I felt I needed something provocative. And as you will read in the first page, it says the title is not intended to call anyone stupid. It's to get their attention and to realize, as I show on the cover of the book, is a bank vault with Africa on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the opportunity is.
And what is the response so far? of those people that have read it, to have come across it?
You know, most people that read it, and it's been, there's people all over the world have read the book, because I have a vast network. As you know, I've also lived and worked in places like India and China and elsewhere. So I have a network, and a lot of them are aware of the book. And they said, of course, they said, you know, wait a minute, the title. But then they immediately, they read the book in one or two sittings. Because as you know, it's very fast-paced at the beginning, and then I go into what's happening in Africa today and why everyone needs to pay attention. So at first they're taken aback by the title, and they think I'm some arrogant person trying to upstage myself. But then they read the book and they fully understand, and specifically the United States, as I address in the book, and a little synopsis is, Africa is being ignored by the country it would most likely do business with today, and that is the USA. And that goes back to many things. I'll give you one perfect example, since we're sitting in Washington, D.C., is the Peace Corps. I can't tell you how many people I met all up and down the continent when I lived in, I traveled through 22 countries, drove the Toyota Land Cruiser myself, you know, with my colleagues from the tire company. But so many people, we would stop and we would hear beautiful English being spoken, and they told us, your American colleagues from the Peace Corps taught me English. And they'll never forget that. And they really have placed the United States very highly in terms of people and people they would like to do business with. But we're simply not there. Every day I hear, Patrick, where are the Americans? Did you bring more with you?
As a matter of fact, you are looking at another lucky beneficiary of the education, obviously, provided by the Peace Corps when I was in high school back in Kavale, southwestern Uganda. You know, you talk about your first trip to Africa, and that was Tanzania, 1985.
In Kenya.
It's very coincidental, because that was also the first time that I made my first trip to Tanzania. I'm a kid from Kavale, Uganda, which obviously is neighbor of Tanzania, but I had never been there. This time I was actually originating from Los Angeles. I was a graduate student at UCLA. I was a Ford Foundation Fellow, and I was attached to the Tanzania Film Company, TFC, under Elimboto in Dar es Salaam. And when I arrived at the airport, I looked around and I said, oh my God, this can't be the Tanzania, frankly, that I have been reading about and that I admire so much, because I admired the founding president, Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere. What about a kid from Cleveland, Ohio? First time you arrive at Kilimanjaro Airport?
In the middle of the morning, I think it was 3 a.m., the KLM flight would land. Mm-hmm. And there I was, as you know, Kilimanjaro Airport, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Not even a single light. They would use vehicles to chase the animals off the runway before the plane would land.
In fact, those days, they used to refer to the airport as the white elephant.
Yes.
Well, now we'll pause for a short break, and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Doing Business in Africa. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
On August 2014, at the U.S.-Africa Business Forum, President Barack Obama announced $7 billion in new financing to promote U.S. exports and investments in Africa. U.S. companies announced new deals in clean energy, aviation, banking, and construction worth more than $14 billion. $12 billion in new commitments under the President's Power Africa initiative came from the World Bank and Sweden. In total, these new commitments amount to more than $33 billion, supporting economic growth across Africa and tens of thousands of U.S. jobs.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiu Uwat, and of course this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Now, Patrick, you arrive at Kilimanjaro International Airport. So was there anything particularly international, really, that attracted you at the airport at that time, the white elephant?
No, nothing whatsoever. But I have to tell you, there's one good thing about arriving in the middle of the night is you don't see anything. So we got into the old Land Rover and rumbled down Moshi Road to Arusha to the New Africa Hotel, where we checked in the middle of the night. And there's one phenomenon I've experienced all over the world, and I talk about it in the book, is arriving somewhere in the middle of the night, waking up in the morning, opening up the curtains in your hotel room, and seeing the new place for the first time. And that trip, I saw Mount Meru, the beautiful foothills of Mount Meru.
Yes.
From that point, it was all downhill in terms of infrastructure, roads, and everything in old Tanzania back in those days. But, you know, then to see the promise and the beauty and meet the people and everything, it just changed everything. And then when 4 years later, when I was appointed, you know, to go to Tanzania and, you know, be the executive of the tire business, not only in Tanzania, but also I covered sub-Saharan Africa because we had multiple locations. That's when I really embraced the country, the region, the people, and everything. And we made a lot of good things happen.
That was a company that was in the business of producing Continental Tires?
General Tires.
What was the name of the tires?
General Tire East Africa. And the tire was General Tire, and it was an old company started in Akron, Ohio, at the turn of the 20th century.
And why were the tires called Continental?
Well, in 1987, the company was purchased by Continental.
I see.
Okay.
I see.
There was a lot of mergers and acquisitions in the tire business. Bridgestone purchased Firestone, which is it. But the General Tire Company was the largest in Africa from the 1930s forward. Places like Morocco, Angola, Mozambique, Tanzania, South Africa.
What was the relationship between the indigenous Tanzanian workers at the company and the expatriates?
It was very unique. My first visit, 1985, it was a very deliberate relationship. As you know, Tanzania was not colonized, or, you know, it had British influence and German influence, but yet there was still, it was quite a, you know, somewhat lukewarm relationship. So one of the things that I did when I first arrived is I realized, well, you know, when they first came, I think they had 8 or 10 expatriates in one of these, and they set it up that way. And we realized, you know, we're better off investing in our own people in Tanzania. And we literally reduced it down to the point where we only had one expatriate, and that was the CEO after some years. And we educated our people abroad. We trained them in factories all over the world so they could bring the technology back and transfer it to other people. I never forget when I first went to Tanzania, and I said, you know, I have to learn Swahili, which I did. And I felt that I need to go into my management meetings and speak Swahili in the company and all these things. Then I realized I was being a fool. It was more valuable for me to teach my people English, the ones that didn't learn English, so we could both be bilingual. So what we did is we taught our employees English.
You know, you talked, of course, about how Tanzania was never colonized. I think that is factually incorrect, Patrick, because the last time I checked, Tanzania was originally colonized by the Germans until they lost the First World War. Then it was turned over to the League of the Nations to be supervised under the British. Of course, it was called a territory.
Right.
Unlike Kenya, which was a settler colony, dominated by basically pretty much Europeans, really. And then neighboring Uganda, which was called a protectorate. Mm. In other words, experiencing a sort of indirect rule, so to speak, even though in practice, really, the behavior of the supervising colonial power, frankly, did not make any distinctions.
No.
Very interesting. Now, you talk about how Americans have to play catch up in terms of doing business in America, in Africa. And yet, frankly, for me, as a young kid, when I grew up, some of the basics that we used were, as I found out later, made in America. I'm talking about Colgate, for example.
Yes.
Toothpaste. Huh? I am talking about...
Coca-Cola,
Pepsi-Cola. I am talking about things like the telephone.
Mm.
Yeah. Even though Alexander Graham Bell was born in Scotland, he later became an American and invented it actually on American soil. I'm talking about Thomas Edison's invention of electricity. The first time I saw motion picture and what have you, I didn't realize, frankly, that I was benefiting from his handwork, the man that was called the Wizard of Menlo Park. Why did they call him the Wizard of Menlo Park, by the way? Apparently, he actually came from somewhere in Ohio.
Right. True.
Hmm?
And you talk about the movie theater. You know, we had a famous John Wayne movie in Arusha, Hatari, you know, filmed there.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of historical sense to that.
Yes.
But, you know, if I made the ketchup thing, the mindset of Americans about Africa is very rusted and out of date.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because, first of all, the typical American is not international. You probably know the statistics about the number of Americans that hold passports.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, maybe 20% in the 20 percentile range. And most of those people never go beyond Mexico, Canada, or the Caribbean. So very few people travel. So there's a lack of interest as well in understanding the rest of the world and knowing what's happening in current events and these things. So this has to be overcome, and that's part of the things that we do. You know, we try to, you know, yourselves as well, broadcast what's happening over in Africa today. You know, I tell people that in many ways, technological-wise, I step back when I come back here to the United States. I spend the majority of my time in Africa. And when I come back here, there's things I have to give up.
Correct.
Technological-wise. What the Americans don't understand is in that one-third of those countries around Africa,
mm-hmm.
they are leapfrogging all of the technological advancements.
Correct.
And they have all new infrastructure, whether it's telephones, you know, the cell phones, also the roads, ports, harbors, airports. All of these things are being renewed or underway. The last new airport built in the United States was almost 25 years ago in Denver, Colorado.
Very interesting.
It just gives you an idea of how old the United States infrastructure is.
Do people know, for example, that palm olive soap is an American product?
I think they do. I think, you know, but the problem is we're getting into this transition. We have the new generations now. Africa is full of very dynamic, young, very well-educated youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
The average age on the continent is what, 28? 29?
About 25 or whatever, yeah.
Okay, so they don't know what, they know Coca-Cola is from America.
Mm-hmm.
Above that, you know, not many. They're learning of the GEs and the Caterpillars because of some of the big projects they're
uh-huh.
taking on now.
Boeing aircraft?
Yeah, but other than that, you know, they're looking where to do business. And, you know, when President Obama was in Dar es Salaam in 2013 to announce the power energy program, there were some interviews being done on television. The BBC was one of them, and they talked to a very successful Tanzanian businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Do you do business with the United States?" He says, "Well," he says, "the process to get a visa is 90 days, and at the end they can tell me no. I can get a visa in 2 days to China. Who do you think I do business with?"
Why is it difficult for African business people and upcoming business people to have visitors come to the United States as compared to their equivalents elsewhere in the world?
Well, a thing called the Patriot Act was legislated, mm-hmm. and it's very strict. And so now the process, the barriers to entry just to go for the visa application process by anyone in Africa almost make people not try to apply. Because first you have to go online, then you have to do other things. So it's very cumbersome. My only recommendation is there should be different levels and criteria. I have very successful friends that are millionaires that could go anywhere in the world and purchase and do what they have you.
Right.
They have to follow the same process as a student to get a visa to the United States and take copies of their bank statements and title deeds.
Very
unfair. And these are people that have been in and out of this country with me dozens of times before 9/11.
Very humiliating, very humiliating. I gather that we have to go to the lifeline of the show, and those are the telephone callers. Good evening, Frank from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yes, good afternoon, Shaka.
I am hugely terrific. How are you today?
Yes, I'm also very exceedingly humbled to be online Straight Talk Africa. I've been listening to the program that is ongoing. Indeed, I would concur with Patrick on his view that businesses in Africa can thrive. We have a number of examples of such businesses that are actually doing better in Africa. For instance, let me go back to my country, Uganda. We have businesses like MTN Uganda, which is a franchise or an off of MTN South Africa. They are doing very well. The challenge of Africa, perhaps, is to deal with the technology, which is resulting from poor internet coverage. But with these businesses that are coming up, we are seeing that there is a very big change, and they are actually succeeding. MTN has played a great role on the African continent. If we look at some of these businesses, they're actually becoming one of the best Africa's brand, favorite brands. Like MTN Uganda, a last time checked, last month, it was the best or the favorite brand on the African continent. So therefore, we are saying people need to invest in Africa. We invite invest in Africa. They can do better. That can also help the African economies to develop at a better pace. I would wish to keep my comment short for other viewers to participate.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Frank. Let's stay in the same country. And there is Peter. Good evening, Peter. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shaka. Sally, how are you after a long time?
I am hugely terrific, my brother. In fact, I was thinking about you yesterday, man. How have you been?
I've been okay, and we had a very wonderful scenery in Kampala about the nomination of Dr. Kizza Besigye. You'll watch it on the Facebook.
Thank you very much. In fact, we are going to be doing an edition on that next week.
Thank you very much. Now, let me ask the author, the author we've seated with you, how about if the audience in the diaspora ask that, wait a minute, why can't you portray Africa to be an economic vanguard of, sub-Saharan Africa? Because we have potential. And since you are the author, why can't you portray Africa as a special space in the economies of the European and the international community?
Peter,
thank you very much, Shaka.
Thank you very much, and we'll be responding to you later after the break, if you don't mind. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, but first here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic and outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan who responded to our question of the week.
Gilbert Watarakia from Musoma in Tanzania writes, I think African countries should embrace democracy in order to create enough peace and security so